time is a flat circle. If everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
How about hour number two on a Tuesday? Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, making sure everything is running smoothly. It's been a strange day in this part of Austin. Normally, when there's technical stuff going on, the way to do it in radio is you just keep going, right? You don't necessarily tell everybody what's going on at every moment because people listen when they listen and, you know, you just go. In general, that's what we'll do today. But you should know that there is no technology, so if you really hate something we say today and you're sending us a text, you can send it. We're just not going to see it. So it's not like we're being rude.
That's like most days for me.
Most days. Pretend like Brad's doing the show.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Because Brad never looks at any of your texts.
I look at a lot more than him.
Yeah. So some technological
maybe onto some
weird stuff today. Basically, it's kind of whatever's written down in the room with us. So
yep.
Without further ado, I present page 68 of Phil Steele, Georgia Bulldogs. No. We'll talk plenty of football today, though. Monday night from last night, Cowboys fans get a look at the Seahawks. They're going to Seattle this week, and we've got a lot of college to get to. Tuesday is our cleanup day. Anything you want to clean up college-wise? Anything on top of your brain today?
What are you thinking?
I rewatched LSU Auburn last night.
Okay.
Very entertaining. Big win for LSU, and just more and more impressed with the little stuff Joe Burrow does for them that isn't that impressive when you see it on the stat sheet.
Right.
But
no, he sold me more. I said it yesterday. He sold me more on some of the big throws, and they trusted him late.
Yeah, right. That
four, on deep shots.
That fourth and four. I mean, that was a huge
and that,
moment.
Yeah,
yeah, the deeper stuff. The pass out to the side to number 11 for a first down was a silly good throw.
He threw a couple that I thought, okay, you're more than a game manager. I mean, you probably are, but you're somewhere in between there.
The other thing,
and they haven't had that in years.
No, they have not. That's why I asked you the other day about when's the last guy, and you had to go back to a Matt. You had to go find a Matt Mock or a Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn.
Yeah, that really is probably the
Jamarcus
last guy.
On his knees.
Jamarcus from his knees could throw
for
75
spinning,
yards.
For spinning it.
If you needed an 8-yard out route, sometimes that didn't work. But the other thing that stood out to me, I go look at the stats. He has like 10 rushes for 22 yards, but they will run him a little bit, and he has these moments of effectiveness for them. There are a couple plays where I'm like, why are you running him here? But he'd get a couple yards, he'd keep them honest, set up a play action or something. And he's a great leader for that team. They're talented. They can block and tackle pretty well. They don't seem like anybody's going to push them around this year. And then when you add in an ingredient like him, and what he can do for them throwing the ball, it was impressive. So I went back and rewatched all that. I don't even know how to get on Auburn that much about that game. I mean, I guess it's they couldn't effectively run the ball like they wanted to.
I mean, Auburn's good. They're not great.
Yes. They can be very good at times.
They can, right.
But they are a team that you can't talk about them without talking about those two running backs that walked out the door because they don't have that guy.
No.
It's not Cam Martin. And
especially on the swing pass, off action. And one thing we'll get into with TCU that I did watch the first half of that last night, and Sonny Cumbie does a really good job. You could see it live of misdirection and gets back to keys. But even that third and four tight end throw off of fake jet sweep motion just to get – I mean, it was very even for your eyes. It's, whoa, there's a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do a great job of – setting things up. That is there's a couple different matchups. I said this when Rod and I were talking earlier, but you clearly want to go to Tom Herman against Gary Patterson because it's what they both specialize in. But to me, this game's about TCU with the ball.
Yeah.
Because if Texas's defense doesn't deal with everything you just talked about, It's going to be a long, long afternoon. They have got to figure, and Ohio State did a pretty good job of it by the end of that game. Now, they gave up, what, 28, I guess, in the game? 40 to 28, I think, was the final.
93-yarder. TCU's going to be tough.
Yeah.
With Rager, they've got some weapons. They tried to get Turpin. I mean, they're doing a better job this year of trying to at least have his presence known and as a weapon. They're rough, and I heard you guys talking about it. You probably do want to get them up the middle, and I'll have to go look at the second half, but that's probably, especially with Black Lock out for the year, that was one of my questions about them. But they fly around. They've got a bunch of safety linebacker hybrids.
So speaking of flying around, I'm assuming, did you see the kick, the trick play on the kick for TCU? When Turpin threw it back to Rager?
Yeah.
How fast did Rager run down that sideline?
Oh, he was flying.
Oh, my God.
And as I'm watching, I'm like, that's a penalty, right? But quickly, I forgot about that. And even though I knew, okay, this is a moot point, you're right. He was flying down the sideline. They run the tunnel screen, run it well, like Greg Davis with Kwame Cavill against a John Blake defense. That's when it works.
That's a good mental image. Yeah, it works. The thing with Rager is, you know, I follow Rager's career because he's from Waxahachie like I am. I knew his dad, which makes me feel old. But last year as a freshman, Rager was strictly a go guy. That's what he did for them. He just ran streaks and flies and just take off. This year they're using him in some more ways. He's still a speed guy, but they'll also set him up for other things.
Yep.
He's a guy, obviously, Texas will have to pay attention to. You mentioned Kevontae Turpin. He's a stud. This is a game, too, where I think Texas could be in a lot of trouble when it comes to punt game versus the other team's punt game. Because Nunez, I believe, is the kid's name. The punter for TCU is really
Adam,
good.
Adam, not Ryan.
Is it Adam Nunez? Yes. He, last year when these two teams got together, at that moment, I thought he might be as good as Dixon. And eventually Dixon passed him up as the season went
Trey,
on.
Trey, you want to jump in here?
But because at that moment, when these two teams played last year, I didn't quite have the feeling that Michael Dixon was the best in America, no doubt. He was damn good.
It was him and Mitch by that point.
But I thought
Mitchie at Utah.
I thought Nunez was at least competitive with
him.
So,
can you hit the judge here?
I'm sorry. Trey, am I completely insane?
Should have won the Ray Guy Award as a junior, so he was still the best punter in college football as a junior. He should have won it as a sophomore. He was still the best as a junior.
Welcome to what we dealt with you in 99.
Yeah, right. That's fair. Okay, well, let me go on this limb. Nunez is better than the punter Texas has now, for sure.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so
the punter we have now is probably going to be good at some point, but he's still a true freshman playing football for the first time in his life.
It's so reminiscent, and I said this preseason, don't flip out if he's got kind of a shaky up and down freshman year. His cousin, who was the best punter by his junior year on, it was the same way. So some of that could just be acclimating and assimilating to football and all that. He's at 37, 38 per. And Dixon was 41, 42 his freshman year. I mean, he's, you know, he'll get there. He'll be all right.
And let me tell you,
you're right about this matchup. I'd take Gonzalez.
When anybody's punting in this game, I just think it could swing big time because of Turpin and Nunez. And Texas has not found a weapon when they return or punt the ball. They haven't found one yet.
I think Brandon Jones is a weapon when they return the ball, but as far as punting the football, it's not all on the current punter. A lot of it is on the terrible job that they're doing protecting him. How many punts have almost been blocked for this team this year?
Both, yes, that and the left side, kind of like the left side of the USC field goal unit. You could see something on film, so I'd be worried about that. And that does worry me, Chad. It's something to bring up about, especially having a blocked kick. But some of that, too, is his timing. Like, Ryan needs to get a better clock in his head. He's had a Deshaun Watson clock in his head.
See, that's
situationally, he's still trying to figure it out because this is the first football he's ever played. He doesn't understand when you need to go quick versus when you actually have time to really try and boom one.
Right.
Yeah, so that's I think that's an aspect of this game that could very much be in TCU's favor. Texas has got to be buttoned up there.
And he tried to do the rugby to the right. That second time he tried that, USC was waiting for it, and there was a guy coming off that edge. And there was on the left side where you had the guy should have blocked it for a touchdown, and he ends up getting rough in the kicker. We gotta make sure that is set this week.
Yeah, because Gary's going to have the guys going after the punter. They will be diving to the right spot. They're not diving at the punter. They're diving three feet in front of the guy to block that.
Gary is like an Urban Meyer or Lou Holtz. He coaches his special teams throughout the week.
Well, you got to do it. You gotta
got
to get in there.
Stick your nose. It's that important.
Stick your nose in there and never let him up.
And you win 24-19 in a 1-2 game against Michigan because some freshmen from Pennsylvania decided to take a couple back against Goulin. Come! This is fun with no internet.
It is one-third of the game, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Chad.
One-third
It is. One-third of 125%.
Darn. Don't put bad percentages in my head. Don't do that.
I'm going to go Yogi here.
I'm going to
do Yogi Radio.
110%. All right, it is the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, hornfm.com.
Mom said hi.
Let's remind you, okay, you did see your mother today.
Yeah, I had to drop her off and gas up, and then I was not going to take the toll road because I didn't think that they'd pay for it here, so...
Did you eat lunch with mom today?
I did everything, man. I was all set up. I was ready to go.
Did you grub at her house or did you grub out in Taylor somewhere?
Her house.
Okay. Good stuff?
Yeah, of course.
What we got going on today?
Always.
Homemade what?
We had fajitas.
Ooh, nice. All right.
Grill action, backyard working.
Shout out to your mom. I wish I could have seen her today. And I wish
you would have.
I wish we were out at Total Men's Primary Care. I got to see the location today. It's the grand opening, 5004 Gaddis School Road. It's right there by this by that incredible HEB Plus out there on the toll road. They've got free tacos out there. They're still out there. Again, our issues today have nothing to do with Total Men's Primary Care. I feel so bad for Robert and all the folks at Total Men's. But we'll keep telling you about their grand opening today. But they got free tacos out there. I saw Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue. Saw a guy walk in with a big box of Rudy's stuff. So I don't know if it was barbecue sandwiches or whatever. You can get registered for a Rudy's gift card.
We'll be out there again.
Yes, we'll definitely.
You can still go out there and get that?
Yes.
Okay.
They're out there today, grand opening. And also, just because I always tell you about it and how quick the wait time is out at Total Men's, I saw a guy walk in, get signed in, sit down, and within 5 minutes, he was headed back. I mean, that's the way it works at Total Men's Primary
Care.
That's
quick.
They do great work. They do great work. So get on out there. I was going to get a flu shot today.
I was actually going to join you. I thought about it last night. I thought, why not?
I got to figure out.
We have internet.
Got to figure out my flu shot in some other way. Breaking news, Trey.
Internet is back, guys.
Is it?
Really? Now, are the phones back?
Let's act like
it's
not.
Yeah, I think so.
Phones are back?
Here, let me double check that.
Yeah, it's up.
Really? If the phones are back, Roger Clemens can call.
Beautiful.
And we don't.
We're up.
We don't have to say no to Roger Clemens.
We're up. Like Chad after the flu shot.
I did not want to have to say no to the Rocket. So please tell me.
Traffic was pretty good on Mopac and 35. So if you want to head back out there, we can probably get there.
Boom! By 7?
No, in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's
1985.
Sure we can. All right, there you go. So maybe we will find our way out of the Stone Age in terms of technology today.
I disrespect our ratings now. On a trip back like this, and I see everyone just stuck in a parking lot. What are they going to do?
Well,
these people
listen
are at
to
home.
Another station?
I was going to say there are other stations they could listen to. You got to believe something about the ratings, don't you?
Well, it was part of the trip. I was listening to them, too. So.
Did it give you any indication as to why they might choose us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything's relative in life.
That's true.
The offensive line is better. It's not 95 Nebraska, but it's better.
Yeah. Can never account for taste. You just never
you really
know.
Can't. Right. It's more of a 155 at 311 type call. We're not. We don't have scales here.
Is that a closing time reference?
That's a closing time
reference.
There's
a lot of numbers in your reference there. 155 right. at 311. That's the 311
Club. 311
Club. And
155 a.m.
time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chad, you ever been there? You ever been at that point?
At that place, no.
Okay.
I've been in a couple places at closing time.
Chad's 155 calls usually at 2 p.m.
That's right. I was going to say, normally I'm home in bed by then. I'm long gone.
No, I meant the call on who to take home.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
By the way, Betty White scared the hell out of me last night. Fell asleep watching the game, woke up, had to rewatch it, get on Twitter, and I see Betty White is trending.
Uh-oh.
No. I guess she did something at the Emmys.
Oh, cool.
Got to be careful with the Betty White trending.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You do have to be careful with that.
You still would, right?
She's still super relevant, though, in her 90s.
I love
why.
Betty White. I wouldn't do what you would do.
Well, that's because you're not a dreamer. That's why. You're not a dreamer.
That may be it.
If you, you just
that just may be it.
If you could dream harder, you could probably
How much
get
would
there.
Trey need in cash to do Betty White right now? At 95, 96?
He's gonna maybe try to say that there's no amount, but he knows he's
No,
lying.
There's an amount.
What's no, the, I'm thinking of an amount.
What's the amount?
Like 500,000?
Oh, get out of here. If I put 20,000 in front of you, you would. And no. Betty White in front of you?
No.
Okay. Yes, you would.
Not half, worth it.
Okay, you're going to half a million. So you're telling me 450,000 is not enough.
If I would consider it for 450.
Okay, right. Lord. And you'd probably consider it for 200,000.
It's got to be a six-figure number.
Okay, six figures. Okay.
So 100,000, I'm saying no.
So $95,000 you'd spit on.
Nope.
You would just spit on it.
No, thank you.
400,000.
He's got to think about it at that point. Come
no,
on.
Actually, no, you're bargaining. Yes, you would.
400, yes. I'm not going a cent below 400.
350?
Nope.
Cash in front of you.
Nope.
No Uncle Sam.
Nope.
You're crazy.
Oh, man. Come on now.
Betty could ask what she wanted at that point.
That is a strange, strange question.
Chad's doing it for free.
For right as we
so,
get internet
let me reverse
back.
This. Chad, what would you pay?
What would I pay?
To be with Betty White.
Ooh, man. That's interesting.
$100? A free Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, I'd probably pay a hundy. I'd pay a hundy for that.
It's the beauty of this show right here.
I don't know. Kevin? I don't know if that's the beauty of the show.
I mean, you'd have to pay me.
Says something
to do it
because you are a sane human being when it comes to these things.
Yeah,
$10,000 free and clear. $10,000, no Uncle Sam. $10,000.
What's the therapy on trying to get that out of your brain for having sex with a 96-year-old, even though she is a legend?
As experienced as you are, you barely know what's going on.
That's true. $50,000.
$50,000. See, there you go. $50,000.
Cash, everything clear, and the finish line's up to me.
So you would spit on $40,000. You'd just walk out. $40,000.
Well, I mean, that's why I wanted to set that low. If we were really bargaining, I'd start it with Trey. I'd go $500,000. Now, you'd get me down a lot quicker. We'd meet in the middle.
Yes.
Probably at $123,000.
Here's the thing you have to consider with that. That is likely living on in infamy. So that's following you around everywhere for the rest of your life.
I know, but in a pretty good way.
Yeah, but not in. You're using the wrong word. Yeah. It would follow you around in infamy, not infamy. Yeah.
Infamy.
No. You'd be famous.
People would love that.
For $50,000?
Well, I wouldn't give out the particulars of the
that
numbers.
That number is known, I'm guessing.
Plus, once I'm known for that, then I get invited on all the talk shows, and I get to give interviews about the experience.
Yeah, that's not the best part about it.
It'd be fantastic.
But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't hurt you.
I'd get to meet Ellen and Harry Connick Jr.
Wouldn't put it on the top of a resume.
Well...
You would.
It'd be on there.
Yeah, it'd be on there, though. It'd be on there.
It'd be on there. It'd be one of the first three bullet points.
Kooky things. Rear World. Betty Davis.
Not Betty Davis.
Betty White. Check. Although I do Betty Davis, too.
Betty Davis is a different discussion we're not having today.
Yeah, well, we need to, though.
Betty Davis in her prime, we can have that discussion. Well, Betty Davis today, we can't have that discussion.
Of course.
Can't have it.
Chad, I think you're overrating just how much... How far a conversation could be taken by flaccidity, you know?
Yeah, that. What he said.
You just wanted to say that word.
So
that
anyway,
well done,
Cumbie has a lot of action we got to deal with.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. We'll talk more about that. We'll get you the big three. We'll talk with Rod Babers coming up, our Longhorn Insider, as we get ready for Texas and TCU. Last three times Texas has played TCU, they haven't even scored double digits. How are they going to do it this time? We'll talk about it on the Horn. Hey, look at that. Got music and stuff, too. What do you got here, Trey?
This is Jade Bird. She is a new singer-songwriter who's really starting to get popular with songs like this. She's got an incredible voice, and she's playing at Antone's Nightclub tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So it'll be a cool show for anybody looking for some good live music tomorrow night.
Very nice. Also on the musical birthday front, we have one of the Ramones that would have had a birthday today, and Exhibit is 44 years old. So I think that's a good balance of music for you on a Tuesday. Also, Austin's own Lance Armstrong is 47 years old. Happy birthday to Lance. All right, we got Rod Babers coming up, our Longhorn Insider. Let's get you a quick big three.
The big three.
I guess the big story today, if you want to call it that, would be Bryce Butler back with the Cowboys. They're trying to figure out how to be a little more dangerous at the wide receiver position, and I think that's the definition of it, getting a little more dangerous with Bryce Butler. They're going to bring him back. Obviously, the Bears won last night and got themselves to 1-1. That means the Cowboys
Bear will... down, Chicago Bears. So I think Bob told me the rest of it.
They look good.
We're the pride and the joy of Chicago, Illinois, Bear Down.
Oh, really?
I think that's it, yeah.
Nice. I thought there was something about victory in there at another point.
Well,
I like that one better.
Not with the Bears.
Yeah.
There was, but McCaskey sold it.
That is true. Prince Amukamara with the pick six ended up being the difference in the game. Old school, Kevin?
Notre Dame.
That is not true. Prince Amukamara?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a different guy. Where was Prince? Nebraska, Nebraska.
Yeah. Prince Amukamara, Nebraska, with the pick six. So you got that in the NFL. We're getting ready for Texas and TCU. Astros tonight against the Seattle Mariners. They send Josh James to the hill tonight against Mike Leake. Astros have
a
four-game lead. Yeah, that's what it says here. Josh James?
Yeah, younger guy. I looked at picking him up for a little while, but he's a guy who they think has a big arm, and they didn't know whether they're going to start him or also use him as a reliever. And I didn't realize they were going to start him at this point. They're kind of saving some arms right now, which I think is smart.
They've got a little ways to go. Four games.
Yeah,
up
you're not
right
there
now.
Yet, not but quite. You can play around with it a little bit.
Yeah, let's bring in Rod Babers, our Longhorn insider, getting ready for Texas and TCU. Maybe still a little cleanup on the USC game if you're still enjoying that. Let me ask you guys: when you have a win like that, 37-14, is it a game you watch more, or is it a game you kind of set to the side more readily?
Was a fan or as a member of the staff? And
well, both. For you guys, the way you watch games afterwards. In a game,
I've already watched it more than the other two.
Okay.
But if you're – I mean, I can separate that from at the very end of watching it going, giving a tessitore. But you know what I mean? I still see where Texas can improve. But one thing that we talked about yesterday, Rod, it is nice, and even rewatching it, there really was a plan of attack.
Yeah, it was.
And it made sense.
Yeah, I watched it again, too. Sam actually had something interesting, and I think my man Sean, Sean Clinch is the one who actually put out this tweet. He said that Sam said that Texas offense doesn't do anything well or anything bad. That they got a lot of room for improvement.
A lot to that.
They're not really good at anything. They're not bad at anything. And I think I kind of agree with them. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they terrible at? They used to be really bad at protecting the quarterback and pass protection.
There were
two
games they were terrible at wide receivers blocking, but they gave a little bit more in this game.
They got a little bit better at that. Yeah, so I agree with them, but you want to get something that you can hang your hat on. I don't know if they have that yet, but as you pointed out, Kevin, I think a lot of Longhorn fans have recognized they stuck to certain principles and concepts in that game that worked, and they kept pounding it home. And I think that's how they're going to forge an offensive identity. So I think Sam's taking ownership of the offense. I think it's probably been the most impactful offensive shift in the last couple of games.
So first half, we know that I've only watched first half of TCU Ohio State. Well, I watched the whole game, but rewatching it on tape, right?
Yeah, I've watched it three times
now. Okay, so beautiful. Yeah. This is the guy here. So it's 4-2-5 he usually runs, right?
Yeah, he's going to run that
four down linemen. Got 15, Nigerian name, Ben, coming up. Respectfully. I mean,
yes. Banagu.
Right. Banagu's really good. Good player, man.
Great player.
They're coming up the field a lot. Does that scream to you more screen draw type game?
You brought it up yesterday, and I talked about it on Longhorn Blitz, which, by the way, you can hear tonight at 7 o'clock right here on 104.9 The Horn. My man Jeff Hoff, Horns 247, Matt Buller, and myself. And I brought up your point. I thought I totally agree with you because you got to use their aggressiveness against them. So whether that be misdirection, the screen game with the running backs, wide receiver screens, you can break out even the tight end screens too. But I think, you got to have a couple of trick plays in there in this game too, just so you can use – because, this is a tendency-based defense for Gary Patterson. They're going to, like you said, what is his quote? I think Trey brought it up, the quote about Tom Herman and how he says that Gary Patterson's going to watch film
until his eyeballs come out.
Because he's going to find the tendencies that you have third down and second down, and when it's second and short, he's going to have his guys prepped and coached and ready to go. They're going to know.
He'll know when Kyle Porter's in there what he's doing.
Exactly. They're going to know when Colin Johnson lines up here, 80% of the time they're going to run this route. Those guys are real world coach. So you need to be even better self-coached so that you now can exploit their, I would say that their, honestly, kind of their discipline against them. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to be very disciplined about, hey, we're going to be coached on the tendencies of Texas and what they're going to do in certain situations. So use that against them. Use their strengths against them. And I think trick plays do that. I think the screen game does that.
Helps misdirection.
Misdirection does a lot of that. So I think you're going to see them, Texas, break out some of that against Gary Patterson because they're very heavy based on what you do well or what you like to do. They're going to try to take that away, which means they got to try to take away Lil Jordan Humphrey and Colin Johnson. I mean, right now, that's the passing game.
Chad, I think it's as important for the Texas offense to appropriately and accurately self-scout this week as it will be for the Texas defense when Lincoln's taking a look at film all week.
That's a great point.
I mean, it's those type of minds that you that's go, man, we're going to have to know who we are and break some tendencies.
The best offensive mind in the Big 12 and the best defensive mind in the Big 12.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. 100%.
Yeah, it's interesting. And if Sam is right that this offense doesn't do anything well, what is it that they need to try to do well in this game? What is it that you...
Good point.
That you go after if
I don't, you know, we talked about with USC, get them on the perimeter. I don't think that's the case here. And I don't know if this offensive line can blow people off the ball, but I do think that getting north-south against them is going to be a key, at least with running the ball. Now, maybe with Sam and different people, and I'm not saying go complete major 2013 against OU where it's like we're going to get two H-backs.
Downhill
two fullbacks,
running.
Right? It may not be that with play action over the top because you have to do different things, but... I think time of possession could also be big in this one. TCU wants to get up and down.
You want to slow TCU down. Even Ohio State, they were in a track meet with TCU early on. And they learned, you know what, we got to slow this thing down. This is exactly what TCU wants to do.
Yeah, they want the tempo up.
They want the tempo up. And this is a vertical passing game, too. So I'm with you. I think the offense for Texas, a lot of it should be based on, in a symbiotic nature, keeping their offense of TCU's off the field.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Just controlling the clock, controlling the game. And that's when Bam Bam Sam comes into play to me, because I think he can help you run in between the tackles. Garrett Patterson already said he's basically a running back playing quarterback. All right, let's use it. He's a running back playing quarterback. Then Bam Bam Sam, let him go down here. What'd you say his dimensions are? Was he 6'3", 230?
6'3", 230. He's not a small kid.
He's not a small dude. He's built at all. Yeah, he's built like a Kardashian, man. Like, let thunder thighs go to work. You know what I mean? Like, so I agree. I think you run in between tackles. You got Daniel Young, because you may not have Keontae Ingram.
We're talking Kim here, not
Oh,
not
Chloe
back in the day. Chloe now, right?
Chloe's pretty thick with it too now. Yeah. I just had the thickness down low. You know what I mean? Hard to bring down. I think Sam is a guy you can run in between the tackles like that. Yes, I know it puts him in harm's way, but I don't think you gain an advantage any other way offensively in this game. I brought the stat to Chad earlier. You know, Jeff Howe gave it to me that Texas averaged 4.4 yards per play on first down versus USC. It kept them in a second and short, second and medium, third and short, third and medium. And when they had third and four or less, they were 4 of 5 in third down conversions. When they had third and nine or more, they were 2 of 7 on third down conversions. You got to keep it getting into third and manageable. With Sam, him running, that's how you do it. You stay ahead of the chains that way.
I like it.
Yeah, and if TCU gets you into lots of third and longs, you're in big trouble. Yeah,
what's the quarterback stat you gave about the picks over the last since TCU's been in the Big 12?
4 touchdowns and 10 interceptions combined by the Texas quarterbacks in this game since TCU joined the conference.
That's a lot of third and longs, I bet, if I can go back and look at it.
And traditionally, 4-2-5s, you want to be able to get physical with them.
Exactly.
They've done a good enough job of being physical, and he plays the numbers game like an offensive coordinator does really well. They're flying around. They disguise coverages.
They lost Blacklock, though, best interior defensive lineman. You know, I mean, Texas needs to try to use that.
Agreed.
They need to try to go downhill on them. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a Herculean task either way, but I think we can all agree. Trying to get to the edges on TCU for this Texas offense, that's not the way to do it.
I want this crowd crazy. Trey and I were talking Sunday, maybe, and he's like, man, I really wish if I could be at one spot. I keep, not just you, but I hear other people talk about the 90 game against Houston. And one thing I forget to mention is I always talk about how Klingler had to go to hand signals. They called the timeout before a play was ever snapped.
You mean at the beginning of the game?
You think that ever happens?
Wow.
I mean, do you think DKR with that?
Before the first snap of the game?
They had to call timeout.
Wow.
I just want consistent cheering on third downs before the offense has a chance to snap the ball when our defense is on the field. For them to be that loud on first down would be a dream come true.
So,
good point.
Just to pick a different location, I rewatched LSU and Auburn, and afterwards they asked Joe Burrow about, said, hey, coming into this game, you said the biggest environment you'd ever been in was Penn State. How did this compare? And he said, Penn State was not close to this. He said, I couldn't hear myself think in the second half. So, that Auburn crowd, you know, I mean, they were getting there and getting ready to go. So the fact that he's comparing it to a place as big as Penn State.
Right.
Yeah. Auburn's not bigger.
And can get loud.
Right, but Auburn's not bigger than Penn State. It's not always about the number of people.
It's
about the, you know, the attitude of the fans.
Agreed.
But when Joe Burrow would have been in Happy Valley, if he actually did get a snap, it would have been 52-7.
True. I did think of that as well. People were already leaving for one reason or another.
They were at the Creamery getting their Sandusky. Blitz.
Come on.
Was a real ice cream. Rod, I didn't do that.
It was. Kevin did not invent that flavor.
I did not.
Chad's point, though, to wrap it up, I remember, Chad, you said they got to start fast to keep the crowd and to keep the juice in that stadium.
Yeah.
Because you had juice in that USC game and you were down early. You could end up, you know, feeding off of that crowd. All the players admitted they fed off that crowd. All of them admitted, like, they were high off of that Texas crowd, that sellout crowd there. They can do it again.
Yeah, I've always believed that a home crowd, thinking when they walk in with in the back of their mind, thinking they could lose, thinking they could very well lose, and then they see something good early, it can change everything. Just that energy, that early stuff, get up early, 7-0, 10-0, make them chase you. The fans get into a whole nother mindset.
Yeah, okay. And I don't think you can get down to TCU 14-3 like you did against USC, but it is a good sign that this team was able to do that and that it didn't clear out.
Yeah, that the fans stay with them.
Right.
Well, they know football. It's two scores.
Yeah.
You don't move on 14-3.
No, I didn't clear out against UCLA until 28 or 35. I called it early, though. I called the UCLA and OU game, and I told both my buddies that I'm leaving at halftime. You guys are more than welcome to come.
There you go.
We're done.
Yeah,
we're out.
Hopefully that would not be the case.
Yes, that's true.
The purple kryptonite.
No.
Hopefully it will not be like that. That is Rod Babers. We talk to him every day, 3:30 and 4:30, our Longhorn Insider segment. Remember to check out the Longhorn Blitz podcast as soon as we're done this evening at 7 o'clock. Coming up, it's you on the Afternoon Blitz. We actually have phones in time for the Afternoon Blitz. Now that's what I call karma right there. 447-3776 is the number. You call, get in line. We'll have a blitz, and then we'll have one and done with Mr. Kevin Dunn coming right up for you on the horn.
The Blitz.
Yes, the phones came back just in time. Or as Trey said it earlier, damn, the phones came back. 447-3776. Here we go. First blitzer on a Tuesday. You're up.
Now that Texas is officially back, it's time for Coach Herman to get that well overdue contract extension, and also for the school to start making plans to rename the stadium after him, Sterling Gilbert.
Good to hear from you,
Coach.
That's
good, Sterling. How are those defenses you're facing?
Yeah, I was going to say, where is Sterling now? Is he still
South
with Charlie?
Florida.
Yeah. With Charlie, right?
You got Blake Barnett.
Blitzer number two, you're up.
Yeah, with all this stuff going on with Urban Meyer, apparently he suffers from memory loss, has a heart condition, and doesn't know how to work a cell phone. When that's going on, you're usually moving from Ohio to Florida, not the other way around.
That's a good call. Nice job.
Remember Stupid News back in the day?
Uh-huh.
It was 70% Florida and probably close.
30% Ohio?
Those were the two.
Like 25 and then 5 anywhere else.
Florida and Ohio were the two big ones. You're right. Blitzer number three, you're up.
Yeah, I like what Rod B said. That crowd needs to be juiced on Saturday night. This is Roger Clemens.
Hey,
come on. That crowd does need to be excited. I don't know what else you're talking about. Blitzer number four.
Get that idiot off the goalpost.
Blitzer number four, you're up.
Jason Witten's head looks weird.
We got to talk about
that. Those suits are fitted really tight, aren't they? What's going on with Witten's suits?
We got to talk about that crew.
Bad Taylor.
And he's the least of my worries.
And finally, Blitzer number five, you're up.
And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the bird clip.
Well, actually, Booger is. It's just a bad role for him. But Tessitore, it's not. It doesn't sound great. And Witten is doing his third game ever. I think he's really good for where he is. You can't just throw guys in like that anymore. And Tessitore does not fit at all with the fake hype. in the NFL on a second and six.
He needs to be doing college games.
He really needs to be doing eighth grade games. But college would be a much better fit for him. You know, I'm glad he's gone because I don't want him in college football. But it's a better fit for him.
Yeah, I feel like WNBA would be a good fit for him.
to be able to hype it up and you get a tight crowd shot. And you go, Bunch of Rockets.
Maybe some MLS.
Yeah, we can get into that as we go along. Before we get you to one and done, how about Kevin telling you about a little Miller Lite here?
Oh, Chad, Cowboys fans enjoyed Sunday, did they not?
Heck yeah.
Especially a lot more if they picked up the Miller Lite Dallas Cowboys Special Edition 12-pack. They're 12-ounce cans, and you've got most stores have it. So HEB, Randall's, there's only one that I've been to since we've been doing all the remotes that I haven't seen that carried it. So you'll see the display. At that point, pick up the cans, specialized cans, that can maybe give you free tickets and a free tailgate experience at a Cowboys game. It's the ultimate Cowboys experience, and it's a freebie. All you have to do is pick up the cans, go to MillerLite.com/Cowboys, and at that point, you can win tickets and a tailgate package. Pretty cool deal. Miller Lite loves being partnered with the Dallas Cowboys, and why not? They're both winners, at least all time they are. 96 calories, 3.2 carbs, and a great taste. It's what separates Miller Lite from its competitors. Get to MillerLite.com/Cowboys. Pick up the Miller Lite Dallas Cowboys Special Edition 12-pack.
Cowboys at the Seahawks this Sunday, 3:25 kick, so a 2 o'clock pregame, I believe that is, for you, right here on the Horn. Also, remember to get out to Total Men's Primary Care, the new location, Gaddis School Road, the grand opening today, free tacos, Rudy's food out there, Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue gift cards, you can register for that as well, and, you know, go get a flu shot and go get your yearly wellness check scheduled. Get all that done at Total Men's.
I was going to ask you, you can just drop by? And you said 5 minutes, go in there, get the flu shot, that's taken care of, and you're out?
Yep. Yeah, and I double-checked with Robert yesterday, that location. They've got the flu shots ready to roll, so yeah, give them a call or, you know, just roll on by there today.
That's good to get that out of the way.
Absolutely.
Don't think about it. It's going to get... Oh, I can't wait. God, I love the fall. It's about to get here.
It is. It's on its way. And if you got any shopping to do, the HEB Plus is right there in the same shopping area. Total Men's Primary Care. Check them out on Gaddis School Road. All right, let's get you your first one and done of the show. One and done time, kids. Here we go.
One and done brought to you by Austin's Premier Poker Club, Texas Card House, September 18th. Join Mel from 104.9 for a special event benefiting Philanthropic with a $500 poker tournament. Visit texascardhouse.com for more info.
Ooh, that is tonight. Hope they have a great time over there at Texas Card House. Here's Kevin Dunn.
I think it was 1995. Max Naki, K-N-A-K-E, I believe. Kanaki, people would say. But Max Naki was a guy for TCU that at the very end of the Southwest Conference was a pretty good quarterback. I remember seeing some preseason All-American stuff like fourth and fifth team and thinking, easy guys. But some of the pros were looking at him. And TCU had a pretty good ball club. 1990 during the WIT run, having to go play there, a 12 o'clock game on Sunday or on Saturday that was on CBS and thinking, okay, this could be a battle. But TCU was what it was. They would come here for a doubleheader on Saturday in baseball, and I'm thinking, well, we got to sweep this, right? They've really changed this athletic department. My sister works there, and whether you like TCU or not, I never liked them or disliked them. They just kind of were that team in the Southwest Conference. They've taken this thing to a whole nother level, and it's one of the reasons why I'm so glad we have Chris Del Conte. His job was done there. It's amazing if you look at the total number of grads they have around the world and the fact that they've been able to turn themselves into a major athletic department. They have been the best baseball program in the state of Texas for the last five, really from 2011 on. So we're talking 7 years here. Their football program has taken it to another level. Even when all of us, myself included, looked at them and thought, okay, well, what happened if you're not in the Mountain West or the WAC or the, what are you guys in this year? They came to the Big 12, and they've owned Texas. I think it's important as Texas fans that Aggies like to say, oh, you guys live in the past, even though y'all are talking about 39 and before then. But whatever. Texas fans can live in the past. It's important this week to understand what present day is. And TCU is a better football program and has been in the Big 12. This is not news to a lot of people. It's not news to me, but it's easy to still look at them and think, well, this TCU team, no, this TCU, not just team, this TCU program has been a lot better. Texas, you're an underdog this week. I want the fans to come out that way like they did in 90 against Houston, knowing they're an underdog, knowing this program has been better the last 5 years, and get your ass up. Get loud. The team also needs to understand that. No entitlement this week. You're dogs.
It's also the first Chris Del Conte game, and I've talked about it. This is the first time he'll watch the coach he had against the coach he has. He'll watch the program he built face the program he's building, and we can only imagine what will go through his mind as he watches this football game.
It's going to be like Richard Williams.
He's been on, he's been on the other side of this thing as TCU was controlling Texas in these football games. He's been watching 48-10 and
making comments about Texas to recruits when they would come into his office. Uh-huh. He's talked about that. I don't know if you read the article on was it Pete Thamel? I read it this weekend, and he would negatively recruit against Texas and tell recruits why you don't want to go there.
And part of it is what they were doing to Texas on the football field, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and facilities, a lot of stuff. But yeah, that was part of it.
Yeah, it is weird, and it's an interesting thing to bring up. Texas will be, you know, Texas shouldn't be the favorite in this game, and TCU probably still gets to play it with some kind of chip on their shoulder.
That's what I'm talking about. Right. Let's get real here. The chip should be with Texas.
Right, and I'm thinking about that today, though. TCU can still play this weird disrespect card. Right, they can still try to play that kind of card while knowing deep down Gary Patterson knows that he's going to be favored in this game. Right,
three-point favorite that I'm looking at right now on ESPN.com.
TCU.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming.
Yep.
TCU by a field goal.
Yep.
Okay.
Taking TCU right now with that line.
I would too right now.
Yeah. I'd take TCU on some different numbers too. I mean, three. I'd take TCU.
How high are you going, Betty White?
I go touchdown.
Touchdown.
I'd certainly go touchdown. I might even go 10.
Okay.
Might even go 10. It feels like a 10-2 touchdown kind of game to me by the end of it. But, yeah, we'll see. Texas and TCU, 3:30 kick, 11:30 is when we crank up pregame. So 1:30 is when the team will come in. Really important this week that you give them that love that you've been giving them. Line up on Bevo Boulevard. Let the team see you as they walk in. It has had a positive effect.
It does.
And then Trey's talking about it, too. It's getting the fans near the stadium earlier. That's been big. So make sure you're there 1:30 if you can. So you watch that team come in. Give them a little extra energy.
It's good to have dignity, but sometimes worrying about too much what people are thinking about you can cause you not to get into things as much as you want. I mean, I will always go back to that 90 game, and I've been to a lot of other games since then. And Trey and I have talked about them. A lot of them are loud. They stormed the field. They tore down the goalpost. That's what I was saying with Wally Pryor. Get that idiot off the goalpost.
I was going to say they tried.
They tried.
They didn't actually.
Well, we were on it. So,
but they did storm the field.
Yeah.
In 90.
I thought one of them may have come down.
Really? They actually got to it?
I mean, we didn't do it. They didn't carry it anywhere, but they were hanging on it.
Yeah. No, it needs to be that kind of energy. It'd be really cool.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that. Don't rush the field. No, you don't rush the field. I don't think Texas fans are about that.
To this day, that still gives me chills. It was really the only time I've been on that upper deck where I was worried, and I knew about things moving back and forth, but I wouldn't totally. Really hadn't experienced it yet.
The place was shaking?
Yeah. It was shaking.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff. All right, we'll see if the crowd can be that good this week. We'll keep talking Texas and TCU. Also, get you the other big stories in sports today. And next hour, we're going to talk to Roger Clemens. Oh, yeah, the celebrity softball game for the Texas OU weekend. Roger's heading up the Texas side. Toby Keith, of all people, is heading up the OU side. We'll talk to Roger about that game. We'll let you know how you can get tickets to that game coming up as well. That is all happening right here on The Horn.